After Alex had turned on the camera light, a panic wave went through the flock. He saw a long, dark hall full of de-beaked, derailed hens in tiny cages, cackling and screaming. A sudden coldness hit him at the core, and he took a step back. It was like a scene from a utopian horror movie.
My name is Henrik Vilenius, and I'm the author of the Rise Up trilogy, a young adult coming-of-age story about Hashim, Alex, and Mariam confronting real-life issues like climate change, corrupt politics, animal cruelty, and racial and gender equity.
Eight. Alex carried his bike down to the street and hopped on it. He had 5 minutes to make it through the four city blocks to the subway station. She hadn't sounded too excited about meeting him on the phone, but Alex wasn't about to give up so easily. She said she would give him 1 minute to make his case once they met face to face. Racing down the street, Alex filled his lungs with air that had been freshened up by a light evening rain. He liked the challenge. What he needed to do was approach this matter systematically, a bit like he did when he tried to sell an article. First thing to do was always to find the right editor. In this case, an experienced animal rights warrior who knew the ropes. Second, he needed to grab her attention, and that he could do by telling what he had seen with his own two eyes. He had to keep it brief, clear, and to the point. As Miriam had told him that Chloe was a straight shooter, he needed to stick to the facts and leave out all the hyperbole. Alex dismounted his bike and set to wait in front of Duncan, as they had agreed. When the clock struck 10, he saw Chloe emerging from the underground. Alex recognized her immediately. Miriam had told him that Chloe was a female version of Hashim, with a strong jawline and the same light brown tone of skin. She wore no makeup, jewelry, nor piercings, and had her hair cut short. In other words, nothing made her stand out from the crowd. Before Alex had time to say anything, she had already passed him, giving him a curt nod. He got back on his bike, but then decided against it. It would be awkward for him to ride beside her, because he would lose much of the needed concentration on steering away from passersby, trash cans, lampposts, cars, and Chloe herself. After falling in step with Chloe, Alex said, "I saw a man fleeing to the woods like he was running for his life." He glanced at Chloe, but her face didn't reveal any emotion. Only light furrowing of her eyebrows to show that she was listening. "The guard worked really hard to scare us away. He was a nasty-looking bastard, haunted eyes and a scar running down from his ear." "That's Vlad Bosniak, the security chief of Mary Farm."
"Bosniak? Is he Bosnian or something?"
"You should stay away from him."
"I just saw a news clip about a salmonella outbreak."
"I'm only interested in your observations. Anything else?"
By taking his hand off the handlebar to scratch his neck, Alex almost stumbled on his bike as the front wheel hit an empty beer bottle on the sidewalk. Luckily, he could quickly regain his balance. His mind had gone wandering, trying to find additional details, but he came up with nothing. So he only said,
"No, that's it."
The whole thing didn't last more than a minute.
Chloe nodded and fell silent. Thus, they walked in silence side by side to the same rhythm. To his surprise, Alex found comfort in her reticent and astute demeanor. It felt like a game to him, like Chloe was testing him, if he had the patience to handle her. Miriam had advised him to let Chloe be the boss. And the initial anxiety that had risen from Chloe's curt manner and unwillingness to propose any line of action vanished. After two more blocks, Chloe took out her keys and marched up the steps, giving no sign that Alex should follow. Alex went back to scratching the base of his neck.
"Shouldn't we do something, like find out what's really going on in there?"
Alex asked, with a shrinking feeling in his heart. Chloe stopped on the midway and turned.
"You should go home now and forget about what you saw."
Alex pressed his lips together. He would not take the bait and get distracted.
"Shouldn't we alert the USDA or the FDA?
When Chloe didn't respond, he continued.
"Oh, I know.
We've become a third-world nation with no oversight.
Chloe inserted a key into the lock.
And what about the FBI? Have they had their balls cut off too?
She opened the door.
The FBI cannot get a search warrant without factual evidence of a crime. So we're screwed,
Alex said, letting his bike fall to the ground with a bang, and he sprang up a few steps, stopping just a foot from Chloe.
I'm not just going to disappear and forget what I saw. I'm going there to find out what's going on.
That's breaking and entering, Chloe responded, her lips pressed into a white slash.
I don't care.
It could be very dangerous. I'm sure they have armed guards.
I can take care of myself,
Alex said and pushed his shoulders back.
Have you ever been shot at?
Chloe asked in a sharp tone. Alex stood his ground, his gaze unwavering.
Have you ever been shot at?
After a short staring match, he continued.
I'm going there with or without you tonight.
Wait down there, Chloe said, pointing down to the street, and disappeared inside. Camila woke up after a dreamless sleep as their minibus rumbled through the gate of an egg farm. It came to a stop in front of a low building that looked like sleeping quarters. She tried to swallow, but it was painful, as if her throat was on fire. Then a tall, lanky man in his 30s stepped onto the bus and told them to get out at once. As they gathered their few belongings and made their way out, there was another group waiting outside to come in. She tried if she could to recognize any of them, but they all looked like more gringos. As they bundled up in the chilly night wind, the tall, lanky man welcomed them to Marlin, Ohio, and led them up the steps to their living quarters. Camila could barely muster enough energy to follow in her mother's footsteps. The only sound Alex heard inside the helmet was the wind hitting the visor as they rode down a quiet country road. They had been traveling on a motorcycle for over 40 minutes, and their destination couldn't be that far off anymore. The forest looked like the one he had seen near the egg farm, full of pine trees, but not as tall as back home. Perhaps the soil was more acidic, less nutritious here, because of the heavy ocean winds that carried salt and sand from the shore. At first, Alex hadn't been sure what to make of it when Chloe had driven the motorcycle out of the garage. He had always associated motorbikes with loud noise, but this thing hardly made a beep, and it looked so sleek. Then he realized it had no combustion engine. It was an electric motorcycle. And what could be a better choice for a vegan warrior? Chloe had kept radio silent since they left the city, yet they could easily communicate through the microphones attached to the helmets. It was fine by him, though. She had already laid the ground rules before they left, which were, stay right behind me at all times and do as I tell you. When Chloe turned off the driving lights 1 mile later, Alex tensed up. The half moon barely illuminated the road through the cracks in the clouds. However, he couldn't sense any tension in Chloe as he was holding on to her waist in a curve. Either she was a very experienced rider or she had goggles inside her helmet. Driving out from the garage, she had already worn one, so he didn't know what was in there. Soon he spotted the sparsely lit egg farm complex on the left side of the road. It was the size of 10 football fields at least. Chloe slowed down about a quarter of a mile from the main gate and steered the bike to the edge of the woods, where they hid it behind some bushes. As Chloe took off her helmet, he peeked inside them from the corner of his eyes. And there they were. These goggles were flat and looked really high-tech, not like the cylinder ones he had seen soldiers wearing in the war movies. Chloe grabbed two packets out of her backpack and handed the other one to Alex. The label described the protective clothing to be antivirus, antibacterial, and antichemical. Alex ripped it open with minimum noise, as it was very quiet, not even a chirping of grasshoppers like back home. Maybe those little creatures couldn't stand the smell of the egg farm either.
I can hold it for you,
Chloe said as Alex was looking for a place to put his phone on while he got dressed. From under her palm, she slipped an invisible, transparent foil on the back of his phone. Alex leaned forward,
feeling the adrenaline pumping in his veins as they stood at the edge of the forest and observed the perimeter from the shadows. Most of the buildings didn't have any windows. Ones that did were probably dormitories for the workers or offices. Nearby the gate, he saw a silhouette of a man inside a smaller building against the faint bluish light, perhaps from surveillance monitors or TV. Alex presumed it was the guardhouse and memorized its location in case there was some trouble. When Chloe raised her right arm, it was time to move. As they reached the fence, Chloe used wiretapping to block the electric circuit without causing the alarm to go off. After climbing over the fence, they ran low across the yard. Alex tagged along as Chloe seemed to know which building they should enter. When Chloe went to work on the door lock, Alex shoved his hand into his pocket and retrieved his phone. He had asked Chloe if he could film the break-in, and she had agreed, but he could only use the flash inside the henhouse, of course. The moon had come out behind the clouds, creating enough light to get some rough footage. Once inside, an odious stench hit his olfactory system in such force that activated an automatic fleeing response. But it only took a split second to get his bearings back. Anyway, Chloe had already closed the door and stood there, observing him under a dim, reddish light emanating from an exit sign. After Alex had turned on the camera light, a panic wave went through the flock. He saw a long, dark hall full of de-beaked, derailed hens in tiny cages, cackling and screaming. A sudden coldness hit him at the core, and he took a step back. It was like a scene from a utopian horror movie. However, a flush of adrenaline rushing through his blood vessels helped him to stay focused, and he zeroed his camera on a wild duck among the hens. What the hell was it doing there? Alex was about to draw Chloe's attention to it, but she was already halfway across the hall, rushing to a side door. Not wanting to be left alone in this madhouse, he bolted after her. As Alex entered the smaller hall, the light revealed the most hideously deformed hens, half of them dead already. These poor birds were scattered in the cages on both sides of the aisle, covered with swellings and purple discoloration. The foul odor of feces, rotting flesh, and death almost knocked him down. And he had already thought that it couldn't get any worse. Breathing in brief gasps, Alex shot the diabolical scene with his phone, without realizing that Chloe had taken out a pack of swabs and small tubes. When the alarm went off with an ear-piercing sound, Chloe crammed the samples into her side pocket and pushed Alex toward the exit. Once outside, Chloe led the way across the yard to the fence. After a shot was fired, she kept on running, unaware that Alex was not trailing her any longer. Hashim jerked awake, sitting up with his heart pounding. Disoriented, he didn't know for a second where he was. The streetlight threw long shadows across the ceiling, and he realized he was in his dorm room. The bedsheet was all damp from sweating. He couldn't remember if he had a nightmare, but there was a mounting tightness in his chest that made him gasp for air. Flexing his arms, Hashim took several deep breaths, but it didn't ease his restlessness. Then it hit him. Alex had gone back to the egg farm on a fact-finding mission, but he didn't know any details. He had planned to call Alex later to find out the game plan, but he had been too upset about his roommate to follow it through. However, Hashim didn't have any doubts that his best friend was in trouble, big trouble, and he had been too self-absorbed by his little drama to care. How many times had Alex been there for him? His vision went all blurry as he wiped his nose. Hashim felt like crying, but that wouldn't help anything. Instead, he took his phone out and called Alex's number and let it ring. And when it stopped ringing, he dialed again. Alex's hand shot to the ground to stop him from falling. He stumbled as the shot was fired. At once, he pushed himself right back up again. But then he heard a buzzing sound of his phone ringing in silent mode. His eyes followed the noise and saw the phone on the ground. It must have slipped from his fingers as he fell. It was Hashim, but there was no time to answer it now. He grabbed the phone and dashed for the fence. Only then did he realize that he could have been hit, but since his body was functioning without a hitch, he must be unharmed. Alex crouched and started zigzagging as more shots were fired, some of them hitting the ground close by, sending dirt flying on his ankles. After hearing vicious barking coming from behind, Alex stopped swerving. He headed straight to the spot where Chloe was already climbing up the fence. They wouldn't risk shooting their own dogs, he reasoned. Yet, his escape hatch seemed to be despairingly far. Fighting the urge to look back and losing precious time, he put all his thoughts and energy into running. With an extra spring in his steps and a few feet ahead of the dogs, Alex made it to the fence and jumped, with his mask pulled halfway down to get more air. As he heaved himself over the top, he looked down. The two raging Dobermans leaped up with their exposed fangs and caught the tail of his protective clothing. Thank God the material was not very strong and easily gave out. He drew the mask back up and jumped off. After dropping on his knees on the other side, Chloe drove up and threw him the helmet. Alex jumped on the back seat as a Jeep barged out of the gate with its engine revving. Meanwhile, the guard was opening a nearby side door and letting the bloodthirsty dogs continue their hunt. Alex had grabbed Chloe by the waist with two hands as the motorcycle shot forward, gaining 60 miles per hour in only 2 seconds. However, that gratefulness was short-lived as he saw the Jeep racing at full speed straight at them. Alex's father was a mechanic. He knew that those Jeep engines could be turned up to 1,000 horsepower, and with that steel front bumper, they could be crushed like flies. "Hold tight," Chloe said through the earphones. Alex clamped his arms around her as they swerved to the right and plunged into the woods. He couldn't see much, but as they were still up and running, although at a slower speed, he figured they must follow a forest trail. Just as he thought he could finally relax, he heard the dogs getting closer, and this time there was no place to escape. In the quiet forest on a silent bike, he could hear dry twigs being crushed against their paws. The two Dobermans galloped right behind them, ready to catch their prey. Alex was about to say his final Hail Marys when he realized that the dark silhouettes of trees were moving at an increasing speed. Shortly, it was quiet again, the only sound coming from his vibrating mobile phone in his pocket. And he realized he had never felt so alive before. His heart still beating hard, Hashim lay on his bed, staring at the ceiling. After wiping his clammy hands on the bedsheets, he grabbed his phone and checked for messages. Since Alex had answered none of his calls, he had finally written a message, with no response so far. Since he had awakened, his mind had been creating all kinds of horror scenes in his head, such as Alex lying on the ground in a pool of blood, shot by that evil guard, or being chased by a monster truck in the early morning mist through the woods. He should have never let Alex go without him. Scolding himself for being such a lousy friend, he was wondering if this epic fail would haunt him forever. No matter how many times he swallowed, the lump in his throat refused to go away. Hashim turned sideways, then on his stomach, but nothing brought relief. Burying his nose in sheets, he could smell how his body odor had turned sour. Again and again he replayed the moment when he had received the message from Alex. He should have put a stop to Alex's crazy venture, but he had been too occupied with his group. He wanted to call Miriam and tell her everything, but he had promised Alex not to do that. He would abide by it, till the morning at least. It had been wonderful to see Alex so fired up on the way back, and Hashim had latched on to hope as it rose from the ashes. Too seldom he had witnessed in the recent time the old, exuberant Alex, who had that rare gift of making everybody around him feel good. Yet, had it all been just a momentary pipe dream, a necessary phase en route to adulthood that requires you to shed your childish ways and face reality, no matter how ugly? Hashim curled into a ball, hugged his pillow, and berated himself for not stopping his best friend from getting killed. It would torment him till the day he died, making his time on Earth a living hell, which he so well deserved. However, despite his best efforts, His self-flagellation act failed to catch fire, even when he repeated it again and again. To his surprise, the lump in his throat was gone, and with ease, he sprawled out on the mattress. For being such a silly drama queen, he blamed it on his mother and her Egyptian soap operas she had made him watch with her since he was a toddler. His phone beeped. Who would message him in the middle of the night? Then, his heart skipped a beat, and he lunged toward the night table. It was a thumbs-up message from Alex.
Alhamdulillah,
Hashim said after putting his phone away. Alex was safe. That was all that mattered for now. He closed his eyes and fell back asleep in the middle of reciting a dua of gratitude to Allah. Amelia stirred awake during the night and turned to her side. She saw her daughter staring at the picture of her husband in the golden locket, with tears running down her cheeks. Camila hadn't said a word since they left the egg farm in New Jersey, and she was getting anxious. She had asked the lanky foreman if there was any news of Angel, but he had only shaken his head. After she got up from bed, she crossed the narrow aisle and sat down next to her daughter. She reached out to touch Camila's forehead, and it was burning hot. She grabbed her handbag from the floor, took out 2 Tylenol, and gave them to her daughter, who washed them down with a gulp of water. Then Amelia lay down next to her daughter, holding her tight until she fell asleep.
Thank you for listening to the Rise Up Trilogy podcast. For more information, go to my website, henrikvillenius.com.